right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it has. That just takes me to our webpage with the rest of the info. Oh, if that doesn't do it, try utosf.org. Oh, okay. And you can hear? Test. Test.
I don't hear it. Coming through your speakers.
Oh. Nice.
So I wish I had more time to prepare for this. Probably only take about maybe 5 to 10 minutes at most. And if you have any questions, you can certainly ask me. So basically, let me start by saying what my interest in this was. I was charged with writing a front end to a database at where I work. And I first started out thinking that Django was the way to go because it came with a lot already. Then I got turned off by all the JavaScript I'd have to write. So I started searching around for something else, and I thought, why don't I try OpenOffice Base? I found out it could be scripted with Python, except turned out to be not as good as I expected, and I sort of gave up on it after I played around with it for about a week. Well, the database form views were not very good. They looked kind of rough still. Like, there's a lot of refining that still needed to be done on the UI. And in order to get any kind of a functionality going in the back end, I also got kind of turned off by how much code I'd have to write and learn at that, and all of the documentation I saw beyond the Hello World Python examples was read the Java code, and I wasn't necessarily interested in reading a lot of Java, so I went back to Django. But anyway, so Microsoft recently pushed through their old XML thing in the ISO. I don't know why they cared that much, seeing that the little of OpenOffice I've seen is pretty enterprise all by itself. I guess they wanted something more enterprise. And you'll see that in a second. So the cool thing about OpenOffice is you can script it with Python. It's one of, I think there's C++, Java, and this language called Star Basic, which is, I guess, some variant of Basic. So there's this cool graphic here. You can appreciate that, I guess. Typically, OpenOffice bundles its own version of Python along with everything else. Probably has its own copy of Fortune, too. I'm just guessing. So they've only got 2.4 in there. I think it says it. Oh, 2.3. But, so, I just recently got Ubuntu on this so that I could do this presentation, so I could get OpenOffice on it without any problems. And I was kind of pleasantly surprised that Ubuntu had, it uses the Ubuntu OpenOffice package uses the distro's version of Python, which was nice. So, I'm just going to show you a couple of scripts. Actually, so there's basically two models to how you use Python with OpenOffice. There's this one. I think it all fits. Well, you can see. So you have OpenOffice running all by itself, and you run Python alone, and it just has a simple IDC. So you can do that. And then there's this one where you actually have Python running in the UNO process inside of OpenOffice. And with this version, I learned about two different ways you can do this. One is you can actually embed a file URL to your script. Well, actually embed your Python script in your OpenOffice file, because it's just XML, so you unpack it and add it in there with a couple of tabs or whatever. Or you can do the more simple version, which I'll show you, which is to just select the file from the GUI. So let me show you the first thing I'm going to show you. First of all, you can see that I've started OpenOffice with this big ugly command. That's important for this first model. So it knows how to connect this black arrow thing there. So we've got all of those arguments in, and it's running. It's running on this workspace here. So now I'm gonna run this little script here. Yeah, but that's, I'm not gonna do anything. Which variables? You mean? Oh, yeah. There's something about. Wait. Okay. I don't claim to understand all of this code right here. So you import the UNO, whatever that is, and set up a bunch of this stuff here. The real interesting line right here is that. So we're going to do that. Well, whatever. Despite that happening, we got that in our writer file, which is really useful to insert random text into your documents from Python. Okay, so there's that. That illustrates this kind of scheme. And, you know, I really glossed over this here, but there you have full access to the OpenOffice API from Python. So I'm not exactly sure to what extent that has significance, but it's probably pretty powerful. Anything you could script with Java, basically you can script with Python. And I'm sure you can find Python plugins on the web that you can look at. I'll show you some of those towards the end. Okay, now let me show you this scheme here. So, in order to do this, we need to put the script in this path right here. Depending on your distro, it'll be a little different. Of course, Windows is a lot different. So I've done that. You can see that. So I'm going to run this dialog here. So I go to my macros and run, and it finds it. It's a neat little drawing here, illustrates all of that. So, right. And this is the code behind that. It's a lot of boilerplate, just for a crummy dialog box. Let me show you the other one. Yeah? The other one. Yeah, the navigating through the menus. Navigate through the menus. And a lot of code. This one? I think a lot of it is this one goes through laboriously setting up all of these geometrical parameters. Yeah, right. This one. Yeah. So that's basically all, about as far as I got. Anybody have any questions? I'm pretty sure this is you can do a lot of cool stuff with this if you have the patience to learn the API, which I didn't. I may at some point when I have more motivation. So there's some code that's already been written. Well, each one has its advantages. I read through all of the intro documentation, and they basically said it's like you develop with the IPC, and then when you want to deploy something, you either put it in the shared library, custom library, or you embed it in the document. So you seem pretty logical. Which is the second mode. There's a lot of examples. To connect OpenOffice base to a Postgres database, and it's not included in the default distribution, but there is a plugin that has is pretty a good, pretty stable interface to a Postgres database, and I've used that and it seemed alright, although I didn't actually write any Python on top of that. Yeah, the tables, and then use the tables from a Postgres database that was running on a server, and then use OpenOffice Base to create the forms. I guess you can. I guess that all depends on how much of OpenOffice you can control via the Python API. And there seems to be a lot that you can do. I just didn't really look into it beyond these few little examples. I tried that once. Well, yeah. My guess is you'd use it in the same way that people use Visual Basic for Microsoft Office. That's what I was trying to find. I wish I would have had a URL before. Well, with this one, there's a connection mechanism going on. So, yeah, let me just show you that for a second. So this big version is inserts this text into the document, but this little one does the same thing. And this, the bottom one's the internal one. I'll show you that. I'm sure once you start writing something more significant, this bottom string is different from the top string, so I imagine there's a little difference, but probably pretty close to the same. Great. siblings.
Thank you. says it can use any of those inside of it as its main loop. Twisted's main loop is called the reactor. It's an important term for data encryption. The reactor is, in most of the Twisted case, just a select loop. It's not just a little bit smaller than the other one, but it's on the front of the whole thing.
Yeah,
those programs.
How many people have that?
see the line from the user, first one that you receive, the one you send back, the word hello, and the one that is the
Let's build it into our app.
Let's say that when someone asks for a status, we're not just going to look it up in the dictionary, we're going to fetch it from the website. It's a new website. That's an issue. Look, can you check to something? Thank you.
this deferred right here is a promise that at some future point, the time picture of that change is going to happen to the first. We're just going to return after we get it. We might do something to the deferred first and we're going to return out and we'll wait for the result. Over here. It's going to use that here.
one function, you just put both sides. The same function would be called, either with a value instance, or it would be called with some other data. You can just see it however you want to do it up here. It's like a primary. There's some simple functions that a failure instance can get to your back. You can call it strapped measure. You can tell it what kind of exception you're supposed to be utilities of this group is your responsibility always to handle, to arrange for that to be filed. If you didn't pay to be heard, you should never file. There's a very decent database.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.